hand for being with us. Well, if you will, stand to your feet all over the house, and while the choir comes down and finds a seat, and take your Bibles. I'm thankful for the Word of God. How many of you love your Bible? Say amen. Take it, go with me, if you will, to Micah chapter number 7, if you will. Micah chapter number 7. Micah is an Old Testament book. Micah, if you can't find Micah, find Nahum. If you don't know where Nahum is, look for Jonah, Habakkuk. And if you don't know where those three or four boys are, just open your Bible anywhere and nobody will know the difference. But go with me. It's an Old Testament book of the Bible, tucked right in the Minor Prophets. Micah is a chapter of only seven, or it's a book of only seven chapters. And we'll try to take a text out of that and find what the Lord's got for us tonight. I want to say why some of you are still turning. Thank you to this church for loving on my family like you do. And always, always a joy when we get to be around God's people. There's no other place I'd rather be in America. There's no ball game I'd rather be at. There's no kind of get together in the social scene of the world that I'd rather be at. There's no movie I'd rather see. The only place I'd rather be here tonight, the only place I want to be tonight is at the house of God. And the only place I'd rather be than here is in heaven. But as long as I'm not there, I want to be right here. Amen? And I love the Lord, and I love what God's done in my own heart this week. You've helped us this week. Just everybody that stopped by the table and told us how much you love us and just spoke kind words to us is always encouraging. And I know this is the last night, but we're taking a whole lot with us, a whole lot more with us than we were able to deposit in your life. But I want to thank you. I want to thank your pastor for being so good and feeding me like I was a fat boy. Amen. I absolutely have enjoyed just getting to be around your pastor and his family and the men of this church, the ladies of this church, and everybody all over the board. Thank you for being so good to us. Micah chapter number 7. Are you there? Say amen. If you're not there yet, I don't have anything else for you. Just find the maps where Paul was on his journey and just read through that for a little while. Micah chapter number 7, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 7. The Bible says, let me start out by saying, if you don't know anything that's going on in the closing of the book of Micah, there's a lot that's taking place in the life of Micah. He is going through some issues of life. In fact, if you read the first few verses of this chapter, you will find out that he is going through a lot of things that me and you go through today. There's a lot of personal frustration in his life. There's a lot of public fighting that's going on in his world of that day. And there's private failure that we see in the life of Micah. And so in verse number 7, he is summing up this book by saying this: therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I thought I'd get a few amens on that. Let me back up and say it again. Just get a breath and say amen with me. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. If you've got nowhere else to look to, you ought to look to Jesus. If you've got nowhere else you can turn for hope, you can find hope in Jesus. If you've got nowhere else that you can draw strength, I feel like preaching now, you can always find it in Jesus. You may not find it in the public. You may not find it privately at your house. You may not find it within the people that live in your household. But you can find it in Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, because of everything that I'm dealing with, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. I want to say that again. My God will hear me. I like this man's faith that we've got a God who answers prayers. Rejoice. I like this verse. I may get real happy right here. Rejoice not against me, mine enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. I may get knocked down, but I'm not going to stay down. Yeah, I feel like preaching. Amen. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I want you to skip down to verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Because he delighteth in mercy. We've got a good God. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I don't know about you, but I feel pretty good about serving the God that we get to serve. You can have a seat tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that you to help me in these last few moments of this last night of revival. God, I beg you that you would help me. Lord, you know I need a touch physically. God, I need a touch more than physically. I need a touch spiritually. I ask that you would illuminate our mind and loose our tongue. God, help me to preach exactly what you put on my heart to preach tonight to your people. God, speak to them and help them through the preaching. Don't let me be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal to your people. I don't want to be somebody that just makes a lot of noise. But God, I ask that your word would make a difference in them. God, you would speak to them. God, whatever you say through this scripture, and I believe that this is your word, God, to your people. I ask that you would bring it to the recesses of their heart as they go about their business the rest of the week. And speak to them. God, if there's somebody that walked in here lost, I ask that you'd save them. If there's anybody that's backslid, God, they've gotten sideways with you. I sure understand that. It's so easy to do in this world we live in. God, I beg you that you would draw them closer to you tonight. For that saint of God that's carrying burdens that nobody else understands, nobody else sees, lift those burdens so that they can lift their hands to you tonight. I ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, that name that runs demons back to hell, that name that Satan will bow before one day, that name where we all have gathered tonight because it's in that name that we were saved, that name above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, I humbly pray it, amen and amen. I like the book of Micah. The book of Micah is only 7 chapters. I like short reading in my daily reading because I'm not a very smart person. And so, and I've got ADD so bad that it don't take me long before I get sidetracked. Anybody say amen on that? In the 7 chapters, there's not any kind of depth to the prophecy of Micah like you would find in some of the other prophetic books like Isaiah. In fact, Isaiah is writing to the entire nation of Israel and Judah, and he's got over 60 chapters in his prophecy book. Micah, he only has 7. And so Micah's message to God's people is straight to the point. There's no beating around the bush. It's exactly like God wanted him to say it. It's focused on a smaller group of people. Micah is just a farm boy from his hometown. He was not educated. He was not eloquent in his speaking. But he was called of God to preach a very simple message. That Israel and God's people have turned their backs on him. But God will not turn his back on them. And I'm thankful that there's been many a times when I wasn't doing right. I wasn't acting right. I wasn't living right. God had every right to get rid of me. But I'm glad, like the song we sang with the choir, he never gave up on me. I gave up on myself. Other people gave up on me. And I gave him every reason to want to give up, but he did not give up on me. Micah is writing about the struggles of his daily life. And he makes this statement. He says, the good man is ceased out of the earth. Every man goes about his own way. He does his own thing, and evil is running rampant. And as he's looking all around him, Micah makes this statement. He said, because of what I see around me, I can't find any hope. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord my God. My God will help me. I'm glad we've got a God that in time of turmoil, in time of trouble, in time of struggle, in time when we don't understand, that God will hear our prayer. He makes this statement. He says, who is a God like unto you? Can I say this tonight? There is no other God like the God we worship. There is no other God like Jehovah Jireh. There is no other God like our holy, holy God. There's nobody like him. And he makes this statement, there's no God like him because he pardoneth iniquity. There's no God like him because he passes by our transgression. There's no God like him because he looks beyond our fault and he sees our need. Are you thankful for that? Say amen. Then he makes this statement. I don't want to get too bogged down in the introduction. I want to give you what the Lord's given me. He says, he will, verse 19, turn again. Those two words, turn again, in the Hebrew is the word shuv, and it literally means that he will bring back to an original state of restoration. He will bring back to an original state of repair. Meaning that Israel and God's people have gotten to the place where they're living damaged. They're living broken. They're living in a state that I never intended for them to get to. However, I'm going to turn again to them and I'm going to bring them back to the place that they belong. I'm thankful that we serve a God that when I go too far for my own help, he's a God that his arm can reach where I am. He's a God that knows how to restore his people. We were building a house, and in building the house, there's a lot that goes on with it. And we had to get certain things set in place. And when we was getting ready to move in, one of the last things we did was we had our internet system hooked up, and so that we could get internet and be able to go online and use our devices to go online. And when I got hooked up and all our equipment and everything installed, I noticed that I couldn't get my router to work. I couldn't get my internet to work. And so I called some friends of mine. I'm not real tech savvy, but I called some friends of mine and asked them, I said, what do I need to do to get this thing to work? One guy said, listen, you've built out a good ways from the main hub of the city. You're probably in an area where you're not going to get good reception ever. And so if it's running slow, that's probably what you're always going to have to deal with. I didn't like what he said, so I hung up the phone. I called another friend of mine, and I asked him the same question. What do I do to get this service up and running? He said, how many devices do you have? And I said, well, we got between my kids and all their iPads and everything, probably got about 8 devices that were trying to sign on. He said, well, that's the problem. He said, your service is so weak, you're probably only going to be able to run 1 device at a time. I didn't like what he said, so I hung up on him. I called another friend of mine, and he made this statement. He said, well, what kind of equipment do you have? I said, I don't know what it is. It's just what they installed from the very beginning. He said, well, that's what it is. He said, your equipment's not good enough. All they do is install just the basic stuff, and you're going to have to spend a lot of money to get good equipment in your house, but it's worth the price. I said, how much is good equipment? He told me the price, and I hung up on him because it's way more than I wanted to spend. So I got the bright idea from my wife to call up our service provider. I told that guy on the phone, I said, this is what I'm dealing with. I can't sign on. I've got all this stuff. One guy tells me I'm too far out of the city that you can't reach me. I've got equipment that is, I'm overloading the equipment that I have because of all my devices. And another guy says that the equipment I have is so basic that I'm never going to be able to use it right. That man began to laugh. He said, Mr. Carr, let me tell you, we installed that and we installed the best equipment there is out there, and you can't get any better anywhere else. He said, and as far as the equipment we installed, it can pick up more than 8 devices. In fact, 20 devices at one time, you'll never overload the system. He said, and I know where you live. I don't live too far from you. You're not too far from where the hub is. You get as good a service as somebody that is built right next to the main hub. He said, here's the problem. He said, what you need to do is go back to the back of your router and locate a little button on the back that says reset. He said, I want you to hold that reset button down, hold it for 10 seconds, and then let everything boot back up again and tell me what it does. I reached back there. I hit that reset button. I let it all boot back up. I started trying to sign on, and all of a sudden, all my equipment started running. I got the service that I needed. And he said, sir, all you needed was to have a reset in your life and in your house, and everything's going to be fine. I started thinking about that for a little bit, and in my life, I have experienced that in my spiritual condition. There's many a people that's got opinions about my life, and when I struggle, and when I have heartbreak, and when I don't understand where I'm at, it gets bogged down in life, and I wonder, God, am I overloading your grace? But God says, you just pile it on. I've got more from where that came from. I say, God, am I too far gone? Am I too far away that you can't get to where I'm at? He says, son, my arm's not too short that I can't reach you. My ear ain't too deaf that I can't hear you. I say, God, is it that I don't have the right equipment? He said, son, I've given you all you'll ever need. You got exactly what you need to not only survive, but to thrive. And God reminds me, sometimes he's just got to reach in and hit the reset button. Child of God, you don't need a new church. You don't need a new religion. You don't need a new Bible. You don't need a new way of life. You just need God to reach in with his restoring hand and hit the reset button of your life. If you feel like you're bogged down, if you feel like you struggle, just ask God, God, hit the reset button in my life. He said, I will turn again. That means I will reset this in your life. Too many times we walk away from God when we don't understand. Too many times we throw in the towel when we don't understand. Too many times we're like Micah and we look around at the world we're living in and say, God, what is the reason for living? Can I tell you something? Your children sitting beside you in church is enough reason for you to live. Your family sitting in church tonight, you may not have the money that you... I'm going to go ahead and preach if that's all right. You may not have the money that you want. You may not have the things that you want. But if you're sitting under the good grace of God, you've got all you'll ever need to make it from here to there. And I want to tell you that there is reason to keep on going for the cause of Christ, because we've got a God that when we don't understand, He knows how to restore a broken heart. He can hit the reset button. Oh, Micah said it like this: God reaches in to hit the reset button when I am going through difficult times. When I'm struggling, notice what he says. He said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Underline that in your Bible. The Lord shall be a light unto me. Now, I believe without a doubt that Micah was not speaking physically of the darkness that he was in. They didn't have lights like we have today. It's not that he didn't pay his power bill and they shut his power off. But spiritually, he was looking at the darkness of the world that he was living in. Spiritually, he was speaking of his own ability to see in front of his face spiritually. Spiritually, he was talking about, "God, I don't know how to take one foot in front of another without falling and tripping up. I just cannot see in front of me to know where to go. I sit in darkness." But can I tell you something? Your God tonight, that even though you look ahead and you just don't see it, even though you look ahead and it looks cloudy and you don't understand, we do not lean upon our understanding, but we trust in the Lord with all our heart, and don't lean on what we don't know, but in all our ways we acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. This is what Micah said: even though I'm surrounded by darkness spiritually and I don't know where to go, I don't know what to do, all I've got to do is trust in my Lord, and He will be a light unto me. What did David say? I'm going to preach now if that's all right. David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide His words in my heart that I might not sin against God." Can I tell you, in a dark world, the only way you're going to know how to make the next step is if you're walking in the word of the light. Walking in the word of God. David said it. He said, "Thy word, God, it's a lamp to all my steps." Micah said, "God, you are the light of my pathway." When I'm in darkness, the Lord knows how to light my way. He knows how to reset the light of my life. Micah said it like this: I may be sitting in darkness, but God knows how to turn the light on for me. Have you ever been in a house and we had storms come through our area and they knocked out the power and limbs and trees had fallen over? It's amazing to me that when a storm comes through and the lights go out, the very first place you run to is we try to flick the lights like they're going to come on. But what we do is we run and we find what we don't ever think about, and it's those things we stuff under the kitchen sink counter. It's a flashlight, just to see if we can navigate through the darkness when everything is turned off. Even our phones have lights on them nowadays, just in case when you're there in a dark place, you know how to turn the light on. In the middle of the night when your car breaks down or you run out of gas, you know how to have a light in the darkness as long as you charge the battery of your phone. Because if you didn't charge the battery of your phone, you're helpless. But we don't ever think about those flashlights until an emergency happens and we need light. But for some reason, we run to a source of light underneath our counter when everything around us shuts off, when everything around us is powerless. And for some reason, we turn the light on, and when everything around us is dark and everything around us is powerless, those lights turn on. Do you know why? Because your refrigerator is run by an outside source of power. The lights of your house are run by an outside source of power. Everything you have in your house is run by an outside source of power. But those battery-operated lights that you don't ever think about until an emergency, they're not run by an outside source. It's an internal source. And those lights are run by an internal source of power when nothing else is running. Can I tell you, the Christian ought to be the same way. We don't get our source from the power of this world. We don't get our source from the things of life outside. But the power that we have today in this dark day that we're living in is run by the internal source of power. I'm thankful that tonight, that even though there's darkness around us, there is a light within us. And Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Got too many preachers up and they're cursing the darkness. Got too many Christians and all they do is curse the darkness. They post things that are controversial by how people live their lives outside of the church. But instead of cursing the darkness, I want to be somebody that casts the light. I don't want to just talk about the darkness. I don't want to just dwell in the darkness. I don't want to just live in the darkness. I'm trying to lead my family and those two little blonde-headed babies through a dark, dark world. But their source is not in the White House. It's not in the governor's house. It's not in anybody else's house. But it's in God's house tonight. And that light is the light of God's holy word. Somebody help me shout amen. It is an internal source. God knows how to light my way when everything seems dark. Not only does he light my way, but watch this. I love this text. He says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. I love his faith. I love his hope. I love his trust that even though he slips up and he falls down, he will rise up again. He said, when I fall, I'm not going to stay down. When I fall, yes, I get faulty in life. But you won't find me laying down on God because Jesus didn't lay down on me. I'm not going to lay down on him. When I fall, I shall arise. It's almost like he's speaking in a boxer's term. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for though I fall, I'm going to get back up again. It's almost like a boxer. He works on his opponent, and he takes his opponent out, and his opponent is knocked down for the count. He can turn and raise his hands to the crowd, and he hears the cheers of the crowd. He turns his back to his opponent, thinking that he's knocked him down for the last time. In his arrogance, he throws his hands up before it's time to rejoice over victory. But what he don't realize is his opponent may have been knocked down, but he's about to get his second win. And if he don't watch out, he's going to get knocked out because he overestimates the power in his enemy. Can I tell you something? The devil has done us the same way. He'll bring things that'll knock you down. He'll bring things that'll try to knock you out. He'll lift his hands, raise them. I believe he did it when Jesus was in the grave. Raised his hands as if he had won the victory. He's done it over my life. Stood over me like he had already knocked me the fatal blow. And I was down up for the count. But I want to tell you something. I had a strength and I had a hope and I had a help in God. And when I got knocked down, there was a hand, there was a strength, there was a second wind that came back to me and lifted me up off the mat. I don't stand here tonight because I'm a good Christian. I don't stand here tonight because I'm a good preacher. I don't stand here tonight because I've got everything aligned in my life and I have arrived. I stand here tonight with my feet planted on the solid rock of the Word of God only because when my enemy rejoiced, when my enemy thought I was down, the hand of God lifted me back up again. I like what David said. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. He set my feet on a solid rock. He established my goings. Child of God, aren't you thankful that God didn't leave you down when you got knocked down, but he lifted you up again? You got too many Christians, I believe, that are living in their past of being knocked down. They're living in the fear of the blow-by-blow punches that the devil threw your way years ago. There's people tonight, no doubt, in this very building, that for 10 years you've been dealing with a struggle that you don't know how to get over, and it's the devil reminding you, not of who you are today, but who you used to be. We give the devil way too much credit. Can I tell you something? God will never consider your past when he is thinking of your future. God don't ever consult with where you came from in order to take you where you need to be. Brother Chris, aren't you glad that God didn't see if you checked the boxes off, but he came to where you was at, and when me and you was lost and undone without God, didn't have a friend anywhere, Jesus reached down and picked us up out of the filth and the miry clay, and he did something with us. The devil keeps trying to remind you of where God brought you from. Just go ahead and tell him that if God wanted me to, he could have left me back there, but it didn't leave me there. I'm not going back there again. God has brought me up and lifted me up. In my failures, God hit the reset button. It's just like a windshield that we have in our cars. Many of us will get in a car tonight and we'll drive out of the parking lot, and just above the window you have a rear view mirror. That rear view mirror has been measured to be 50 times smaller the size of your front windshield. 50 times smaller your rear view mirror is than your front windshield. In fact, they don't want you driving by your rear view mirror. Think about trying to make it home in your car, driving, especially some of the females. Driving by your rear view mirror, and some of the males as well. And we got teenagers driving, dear God. You say, I can't get home just by driving by the rear view mirror, because I'll be driving backwards the whole time and I can't see everything. You're right, and you're going to kill somebody. If you try to drive home tonight with your rear view mirror, you let me know. I'm going to stay on the altar and pray until you get home. See, what happens is if you tried to do that in your car, you would kill somebody or kill yourself, or you'd wind up in a ditch somewhere, and there's no way for you to see the whole picture by just looking at the rearview mirror. The rearview mirror is not for your guidance. It is for your reference. You're just supposed to look at what you've passed and then look straight ahead and move on. Just glance at what you passed and then look straight ahead and ride on. But too many Christians are living in the rear view mirror mentality. You're living back where God has already saved you from. And you're trying to guide your life based on where you came from. You can't live the same way you used to. You can't talk the same way you used to. You can't walk the same way you used to because you ain't who you used to be. It's time we started living as we are and not who we used to be. Though I fall, I shall arise because he lifts me up. I don't want a rearview mirror mentality in my life. I want to look straight ahead. I want to look in the rearview mirror and say, thank you, God, where you brought me from. Thank you, God, I don't have to go back that way no more. And honey, you need to put it in overdrive. And if the devil tries to stop you, run over him on the way. Because he's a God that can lift you up when you've been knocked down. Not only is he a God that lights my way and lifts me up, but he's also the God that looses my chains. He loosens my chains. What do you mean by that? Verse 18 says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. Aren't you glad God moved on you in compassion? A few of you said amen. I wish a few more of you would. Aren't you glad he didn't move on you in judgment? Aren't you glad he didn't move in your direction based on your actions, but all on his? Aren't you, about to run a lap. Aren't you glad he don't treat you like sometimes we've treated him? He moved on us with compassion. He will subdue our iniquities. Thou wilt cast all their sins in the depths of the sea. Had this girl that we got to meet along the way. Will you come up and sing a song? Will you do that? Play something? Yeah, you. And Nolan, you want to sing too? Yeah, I bet you do. Katie, won't you come sing with her by way of invitation? Is that all right, preacher? He done got tired of my sermon. He's writing one. Two things we learned in college that'll make a preacher want to preach. Good preaching, bad preaching. He's been listening to bad preaching all week. He wants to preach. We met this lady, this young girl. She was a teenage girl when we first met her. And she came to church, was raised up in church. But because the church was going through some issues, her dad was a preacher in the church, and some people said some pretty bad things about her dad. And can I just say this? When you attack a man of God, it's not just him that bears the weight of it. In fact, he's a pretty tough dude. I've seen him jack a few people up and change their oil. He knows how to deal with somebody. But his wife and his children feel the weight of the attacks more than he does. Some things can roll off of a man, but he's got people around him that love him and think he's their hero and think he's the most wonderful person because they see him at the house with tears rolling down his face. They see him at the house praying and earnestly seeking God for people. And those same people, when he's attacked, they have to watch it. And sometimes, if they're not strong enough, it hardens their heart and weakens their faith. So I want to just say this. He didn't tell me to say this. He may even get mad at me for saying it. He's a big boy. He can hurt me. But the best thing to do if you've got a problem with him, you need to take it up with the God who called him. And don't try to take it up with nobody else. Because you don't know what weak faith little people are listening to. That God has put him in a place to reach their heart and their soul. And I might not be able to reach the world, and I might not ever be the reason somebody comes to know Jesus. But with every fiber of my being, I've promised God I'll never be the reason they don't come to know him. This little girl heard people crucify her daddy. She got a hard heart and a weak faith. When she turned 17, she left that home and started running with the world. She got hooked on heroin, started living with a friend, running up and down the street, hitting every bar she could go to, trying to find what real life was about, because she believed that what was going on in that church wasn't real. And so she spent the rest of her days as a teenager on into her 20s trying to find what is real. The devil is a liar. That girl, we saw her again when she was 28. She come walking into a church service where I was at. My wife was up singing. And her dad, who was still a preacher, brought her in. She's nothing but skin and bones. She comes sitting in about three rows from the back and sat down with her dad. The whole service, her dad just wept. People come to the altar. Her dad in the middle of the service jumps up and runs to the altar. Girl hadn't been in church in almost a decade. And he's begging God, please save my girl. Please save my girl. God, don't let my girl go to hell. That's not what God intended for that girl. But she was exactly where the devil intended her to be. He's on the altar begging God, save my baby girl. She didn't move. Crossed her arms. She's rocking back and forth, hiding herself in her hair, hair down over her face, wouldn't even make eye contact while I was preaching. I preached the sermon, it's pitiful, but just a simple message about how Jesus can restore. I begged for that girl to move. I did all but call her name out and ask her to move and come to Jesus. And she sat there with a bulldog grip on that seat in front of her and wouldn't turn it loose. When I was about to wrap up the invitation, she ran out the door, got in the car. I was talking to her dad on the way out with the pastor. And her dad, tears rolling down his face, he said, preacher, please pray for her. I thought tonight was the night God was going to help her. He said, tonight was the only night I could bring her. Please pray that somewhere God get a hold of her. She's going to die in that mess. We prayed right there. That's Monday night. Tuesday night went by. Wednesday night went by. On Thursday night of the revival, I noticed in the back there was a girl that was pacing back and forth. The church service was already about 20, 30 minutes in. She was pacing back and forth. Finally, she caught a break and walked in, and she didn't sit at the back. She came all the way down to the third row of the church service and sat down by herself, and I looked for her daddy. He wasn't there. It was just her. God spoke to me while we were singing. He said her daddy brought her Monday night. I brought her tonight. she sat there in that seat, and I never will forget it. My wife can testify. She started, my wife sang, and all of a sudden, the dam of that girl's life broke. And she just started bawling. Tears. Y'all got time for this? Tears tracing canyons down her face of the dirt of her past. While God was massaging that hard, cold heart. She started boo-hooing, and I said, get her, God. Sick her, Lord. Get her. She jumped up out of her seat, ran to the altar, fell out. All I could hear her say was, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. She stood up and testified that night. And she said, for years, I blamed everybody else for the reason I didn't want God. But she said, I found out tonight that there's only one that's keeping me from Him. And it was myself. And she said, it wasn't those people the reason I was messed up. It wasn't the church's fault that I was out. It wasn't God's fault that I wasn't in. It was my fault. She got saved that night. There's so much more to the story. I don't have time to tell you. She is now working in that very church. She's working with some of the recovery ministry, reaching people just like her. Brother Chris, she realized there's another one out there that's just like her. It gets even better. I know I ain't got no time. I ain't going to be here tomorrow, so be mad at me tomorrow. She met one of the guys in the church there. If I told you what this girl was involved in, you would think, ain't nobody would want her. That's what the devil said. But one of the young men of the church, good Christian young men of the church, he's not called to preach yet, but I think he will be. He went out on a date with her, and he married her. It gets even better. She's going to be having their first little child in just a few weeks. She's still in it. All because God reached past the darkness, reached past the failure, reached past the chains, and said, boop, reset that back to where I want it to be. While they sing, I've taken way too much of your time. I apologize, I really do. But I wonder if there'd be anybody in here tonight that'd stand to their feet all over the house. And while she sings, if you'd just get around this altar and tell Him, thank you, God, for hitting the reset of my life and not leaving me where you found me. While she sings, would you stand to your feet? Would you come?
In the midst of this world, sometimes I need a word from heaven that everything's okay. And I try to walk by faith, but sometimes I'm so afraid, and I cannot see how God can make a way. But then I think, He He's never failed me, never left me. Not one time have I cried out, and my voice He has not heard. Never fail me, He won't start today. He will make a way. He's never failed me. And as broken as you feel, oh, your troubles, they are real. And I know you feel that God's forsaken you. Oh, but child, don't lose your faith, 'cause He is working while you wait. So just hold on, He's gonna bring you through, 'cause He's never failed me, never left me. Not one time have I cried out, and my voice He has not heard. Never failed me, He won't start today. He will make a way, 'cause He's never failed me.
Bow your heads with me if you will. She continues to play. I'm thankful. The invitation was, are you thankful God hit the reset button in your life, restored some things? As I sat and I listened to Brother Brent, I couldn't get past the reset button. He called somebody that could help. In that situation, he was told he had to reach back and hit the reset button. I got thinking about that, and there's some families going through some rough times. Some families dealing with some very difficult situations. There's some kids. Listen to me. I need to hit the reset button. Some kids that need to hit the reset button on how you're treating your parents. Some kids that need to get down here on this altar and hit the reset button. Fix that attitude. Some parents, maybe you need to hit the reset button in your life too. I was thinking about it. How do you end such great services? If it doesn't affect us, if it doesn't take us home, if it doesn't go home with us. I wonder how many kids, how many parents, grab your youngins tonight. How many teenagers will go to your mama and go to your daddy tonight? Bring them to the altar and as a family, reset some things. Reset some things in your life. Hey, some husbands in here, you need to hit the reset button. Hey, some wives in here concerning your marriage. You need to hit a reset button. Hey, some friends in here. You need to get your friend and bring him to the altar. Hit that reset button. I'm sitting here, I'm looking, and nobody's moving. And it worries me because I feel like we've just accepted how things are. And right now, we're just showing God. I learned to live with it. And some Christians, you need to hit the reset button. There was a time you were on fire for God. And it ain't that way anymore. You can blame any circumstance you want to. You can come up with anything you want to. But the fact of the matter is, until you are willing to hit the reset button, God's way, God will reset it. God will restore it. He will. You got to hit that button. God help us. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. God, I don't know how much better it could have been tonight. I thank you for your preacher. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. God, I'm thankful that you'll restore us. Lift us in our failures, Lord. Light our paths. Loose our chains. Lord, so many times and so often, our problem isn't your ability. Our problem is our apathy. God, help me to live a life of full potential. God, help me to be willing to hit the reset button when I've seen that I've strayed from you. Lord, I don't want to look back to the past, but I want to be very aware of my present. God, if I'm here tonight, if there's one here tonight, they're not in the right place with you. God, I pray tonight not go home the same way they came. Not walk out in the same condition. Not keep trying to go through life just making it. Lord, tonight I pray they find a place around the altar, a place somewhere in their home, a place in a closet. God, I pray they hit that reset button with you. Allow you to restore some things in their life, restore some families, restore some relationships. Lord, restore the joy of their salvation. Let us not be negligent of our part. Lord, I pray tonight you continue to work on hearts. Morning tonight with heads bowed. We have visitors, so I'm just going to be blunt. Our Bible's to the point. Jesus didn't hold anything back. The Son of God came, a light unto this world. He came in the darkness. And he had a message. In his message, he spoke of heaven. But in his message, he spoke of hell. It's a word we don't want to use in our society. It's a place we don't want to think about in our society. But tonight I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to be real honest. There's a real place called heaven, and there's a real place called hell. Jesus described it as a place of torments. Jesus described it as a place of fire, flames. Tonight, you've sat in the presence of the Lord. Tonight, I know that when He comes, when He shows up, He'll speak to you individually. I got saved, and I can tell you, I'm telling you, God was speaking to me just sure as I'm standing here. I don't even remember what the preacher preached. God was dealing with my heart during that whole service. If that's you tonight, you say, "Preacher, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I sure don't want to go to hell. I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Just don't know. But I'm certain I don't want to go to hell." If that's you tonight, I want you to do me a favor and just lift your hand right up. "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know that I'd go to heaven." Is there anybody like that in the building tonight? That'd be honest with this preacher. Nobody's looking around. I just ask you to lift it up. You can put it right back down. "Preacher, I don't know." All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you so much, Lord, for your preacher. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Spirit in our church tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless, continue to bless Brother Brent, his family, Miss Tiffany. God, thank you, Lord, for their friendship, for sending them our way. Lord, thank you for this week of revival. Lord, thank you for everybody that sacrificed time, their efforts, their money, Lord, whatever it was to make this happen. Lord, I thank you for every person involved. Lord, I pray that each one of us got exactly what we needed. We'll take home, be different. I pray, Lord, this changed our lives. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor and glory for what you're going to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have a seat.